if you didn't have the intense passion for it that you have, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be, I mean, you, well, you could perhaps do it to get by, but one, you wouldn't want to, and you couldn't even remotely do it on the level that you do it at, because it is the same as John Mayer picking up a guitar. It is the same, absolutely, in my opinion. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, no, it's true. Passion is important. And Deepak Chopra, you know, many years ago, listening to some lecture he gave, spoke of when his kids were young, he just reinforced his children to do what you love. Do what you love. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about all the things that society may project on you. If you do what you love, you will be successful. You know, and success is measured by many things. Least of which I think is financial. I think that's a resultant of success.
Absolutely.
But it's not the core oxygen to it. It's actually the passion, and then the skills, the matching to skill set, and how you can contribute to whatever it is that you engage in. And you will be successful, you know.
Absolutely. 100% agreed. You said that very well. And going back, you said something also very well. You're saying everything very well, but with respect to, you touched upon now, and this, now that we're weaving in you and how you do, what you have done, what you continue to do, what you do, again, as in my opinion, in looking at what you've done and in comparison to those in your profession, as somewhat of a swan. So you mentioned a little while ago, which is very prevalent in terms of now, during this time, this immediate time, spending more time at home. And in doing so, whether it be someone such as yourself, and that this is, you know, you're constantly thinking about the home, so to speak, and designing it, in whether it be a home or a beautiful development such as you mentioned you've worked on up in Park City. Yet, so during this time, how has that perhaps giving you new inspiration with respect to either certain projects that you are working on, or perhaps the develop an idea for a project that you don't yet have in the works? Or how has that affected you directly professionally?
So I find it to be a very interesting time on many points professionally. And a lot of it, I revert back to my intuition and my belief that the universe always provides an opportunity to explore and learn. So that being said, this particular time, when it comes to my work or the work that I participate in, there's never been a point in my lifetime when communities and people feel this consistent and shared need or want to be home, to enjoy their environment, to they've had to put so many things on pause and with great thought into, where they are with their different projects. What I experienced in the first 6 weeks or so of the pandemic, specifically the lockdown, a percentage of clients put holds on things, stop projects, put a hold, wait and see kind of approach, which is, again, totally understandable.
Right.
But what I've seen, occur is a return, a passionate return to not only doing projects, but also to make them even better, or again, better is a relative term, to go explore them even further and deeper when as to what the objectives are, as well as the desired results. So I'll give you an example. You mentioned Park City briefly. There's a client that I have out in that market that owns an existing condo. In this 3 month period of dialogue during the pandemic, we've stayed in touch on some different possibilities. They're looking to buy the neighboring condo next to theirs, and then gut both to make a 5-bedroom, 5.5-bathroom condo. And it's really meant to elevate how they use the space and use it differently while they look for like the perfect property, whatever that might mean for them, to build a house as well. So it's really sort of, it's not a stepping stone. It's not a Band-Aid per se. It's really sort of looking at things, not waiting, you know, not waiting necessarily. Another project that we're blessed to be involved with is a 210-unit multifamily rental complex in here in Pennsylvania. It's under roof. It's due to be delivered sometime later this year or early 2021. In that design, when we did the research, what differentiated that developer's property was the outdoor landscape. You know, there are a lot of rental, high-end rental communities that have come on the market internationally and nationally over the last, you know, 10 years or so, for example. It's definitely a target audience. And so what we developed to differentiate this particular community was biophilic influence within the design, to bring nature into the building, building nature into the design of materials and also the experience. And the project's been named Elements now, and we're using elements of nature throughout. Now, that just happened to be coincidental prior to the pandemic lockdown. But if ever a time seemed to be perfect timing was a biophilic design, is an area where people could move to that would have amenities that, and a design all the way through to the unit finishes and styling that is influenced by nature. And it's done in a very, it's not so much about the building per se, it's more about the integration of nature. So we have green walls inside and outside. We have natural materials that oxidize and have a more natural finish to them, for example. So you're doing terrazzo floors, which aren't often done in residential necessarily, but using that natural material and buffing it with, grinding it down and buffing the terrazzo floors, but then doing like a natural raw brass liner to divide the panels.
Wow, how exciting.
So it has some really interesting cue points to the biophilic, but also what a time to be collaborating on a building with this inspiration. And even the outdoor environments, we've done 5 different varied amenity areas outside that really play up the natural form and the mixture of natural elements and materials. So again, to keep you connected to nature, because I think this is another example of what has been influential in design for recent decades, but was never more poignant than now.
Right.
Even in the suburban location of this building, it's going to feel special because it connects to its own nature park and wildlife, sort of walking trail, that kind of thing. So those kinds of things. So it's an opportunity to even reinforce maybe what we've already been thinking about, but also to intuitively really think about how people respond to nature. I know that you enjoy nature and you're outside often quite a bit with your dogs and so forth. Sort of similarly, that anchors you. It anchors you to your oneself and also your sense of place and the now, you know. And so I think design can do that as well versus just being visual entertainment.
Right. You know,
being pretty is important, of course. I get that. But functionally, it wants to engage the consumer or the client or even the designer in a way that really reflects something deeper, something more emotional, and I think that's never been more important than now. And so we're finding some interesting projects come to fruition, as well as to further advance, you know, in our experiences. And there's no question that the amount of time, there's only so much cleaning and organizing you could do in your house. Then you're like, okay, well now how does it feel? How does it make me feel? How can I make it feel more comfortable?
Right. Absolutely. And you use 3 words, one of them more consistently, but you elevated, inspired, and connected. And I would imagine, and I'm gathering that from everything you've said, but now as the as an artist that you are in your own right with respect to creating that these environments for people, it must be, and I say this not making a, this is a fantastic out of tragedy, i.e. the pandemic, but it is what it is. But during this time in which people are refocusing and reconnecting or connecting or just connecting in general for the first time truly to their home, you know, as I've said to people, you have so many people in the affluent or luxury world, in our world, so to speak, that they own a magnificent home in the Hamptons, and they own a second incredible home in Miami Beach, and a third perhaps home in Aspen or New Hope or whatnot, and they love those homes. And you also just said this very well, is, and they love those homes perhaps because, you know, they're pretty, they are on a lot of land, yet have they ever really realized, have they truly ever realized what that home is about, what that home, and not only the physical structure of the home, but the, you know, the entire area, the yard, the acreage, et cetera, so to speak, what all of that has to offer. And so that is obviously happening. The home and design industry is doing incredibly well, as you know. And so again, I think that must be an exciting time for you as both a business professional, but further as the artist, in that you're going to be able to not only inspire yourself and be developing new ideas, that you will now that the universe has put that out, that you've put that out, but further with people, really, like, imagine sitting in your, or such as yourself with your magnificent home, but say sitting in your home for the first time and not, you know, you've had it and you've loved it, but you've never really looked at it in a way of like really realizing it, like almost say you've been in love for years and you've had this companion that, and you guys are great. But all of a sudden looking at them in a different way for the first time and realizing how you love them even more and why you love them even more. And so, and that I think is so beautiful with respect to what you do in your industry. And again, engaging with people with the home, because the home is such an intimate aspect of our lives, a passionate part of our lives, and different for everyone, you know, and that there's, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, for the person that loves their home to be somewhat like a W hotel and very rock and roll, and that's the essence of them, that's great, because that's really what it comes down to. It's the essence of you, the passion you have for life. And so how exciting for you to be during a time where people are, and that's never going to change now. It's something that's almost like it's a Pandora's box that's open for you, and people will continue to explore that more and more, both in the current geographies that they're in, but also as they continue to move into new geographies, you know, people moving to say that have lived in New York their whole lives and they've had the $20 million condo or flat in Manhattan, but now realizing, I don't think I want to stay in Manhattan anymore. And so now I'm moving to New Hope or to Lambertville or to Tewksbury, and I want to, or even to the mountains. You know, I was discussing this with Andy Odie up in Vail, who's with Sotheby's there, and we were discussing how there are people that, you know, everyone knows the name Vail, especially in the affluent world, of course, yet they never really would have thought of it as a place to live. Well, now they are, even if they don't ski, even if they don't snowboard, even if they don't like to go outside, yet they would put that now perhaps at the top of the list, same as, say, again, a New Hope or a Tewksbury, and then within that, they will buy or build a home and begin working with someone such as yourself, Richard, and that home will be completely different than the person that is there to have that skiing or snowboarding or outdoorsy type of life. So again, my long-winded way of saying this must be a really exciting time as an artist doing what you do.
It is, and I think you've said it well, that you know, everyone's story is similar and everyone's story is different. You know, everybody has a story. So I think it's what's really cool about the opportunity is that if nothing else, it gives the opportunity to people to dig a little deeper, you know, spend a little bit more time, like I said, in the present. And it's not just about the conveniences that we have been inconvenienced with, you know, or not having. It's what it has created for us, and it's to notice when the sun angle is changing, knowing how our house feels, our environment feels at different times of the day, and now into a different season, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So that's all very engaging if you take the time to pay attention to it. And another thing that I think is sort of common or you know, can be common as a perspective, especially to the affluent customer, is that our client is that, you know, when you can't go to those, you know, all those different properties for a while, not easily, or they're on lockdown, it's sort of like, well, what do I need? And therefore, what I do, when you decide what your needs really are, what you think your needs are currently and moving forward, is you want to make them even more of an experience. When you take time to really take in the experience and think about it, we as human beings, we want to improve it, or we want to enjoy it more, or we want to make more of the good stuff and maybe less of the less convenient stuff, less positive stuff. So it's really taking that action, you know. And what design can do is, especially with the exciting time that we're in with technology and how we communicate and how we can communicate in different markets and different places, is that we have this great tool to use right now, which it also has positively impacted the experience. So we do our Zoom presentations with corporate entities, for example. Recently did something with Toll Brothers for a project that we're doing for one of their multifamily developments. And it was all done remotely, you know, and very engaging, very efficient. And it gave more time to the individuals to do other things besides being in a car, driving to an appointment, for example.
Right.
So it's really, it's reinforced shifts that have already been going on, and it's really exciting. And I think that a common denominator is to be able to really tap into what a consumer, what a client is interested in, why they like Park City versus Vail, for example, or why they like Vail more than Aspen. Like, for example, what it is that each, you know, they're all beautiful places, but it's like a borough in New York City, for example, one of the five main boroughs. Each one feels different. So mm-hmm. there's a reason why, you know, those New Yorkers, for example, like where they are in the New York environment. So it's then saying, okay, what do I like about it? Why do I like it? And then what have I learned that I want to enhance and make even better? So it's a great time to collaborate on visions for the future. And I like the idea of as much technological integration, but again, not having it necessarily be in the forefront of all the visuals. You know, I definitely think that flat screen LED televisions are great, but I don't necessarily have to see them in every room. And I think it's important to understand the client to say, well, really one can be visible, but maybe some other choices you don't want them as visible. And the quantities have changed, you know. It definitely is a shift, just because technology is so readily available and also has come down in costs of investment quite significantly. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want more of it. It's just that you want to tailor it more to what works best for you. And that's really the kind of a fun part of design as well. Sort of like comparing someone, like, for example, that maybe just won the $380 million lottery, and that's something they were really excited about the first year or two, maybe even 5 years, how they experience that particular circumstance. It will change. I always think it's around the 5 year mark. All of a sudden, the priority is like, wow, all that adrenaline, all that stimulation.
Right.
And again, I'm talking in general terms. Yeah. Obviously, it varies. It starts to get down to family time. What's the quality of my experience? Do I have to own it, or do I have to, or is it renting it okay? You know, all of those assessments and evaluations take place kind of organically through the experience. So it's really fun to be able to guide a client on their journey, whatever their journey is. You know, sometimes we've had clients historically that they want everything they can get, no matter, you know, like they want every feature because their friends have it or they've experienced it. And then they find that after they've had that for a little while, that really they only use a certain portion of it.
Right.
So it helps them tailor, you know, what their buttons are. What I think in design that is important is just understanding where the client's true core interest is, whether it's being making it the most beautiful, unique or environment, or is it something that is much more feathered into who they are as people, what their sort of mission statement is in their life, like what their priorities are, and have it reflect all of that in a way that's not necessarily giving anything away. It's still a very private experience, but it really pushes the buttons that most motivate them, that keep them the most happy, the most pleased. And that's really fun. And that does change, you know. And then you get into this pandemic, it's being not tested, but it's being, it's almost being nurtured in a different way because of.
Right, that's a great way to say it.
Being nurtured, if you look at it as nurturing, you know, the universe is nurturing us if we choose to look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of exciting. And that really speaks to more my personal philosophy, probably more than my strict like business objective, but it's what I bring to, you know, the experience. And I really enjoy it. I have clients that I've had for years and a lot of new opportunities as well. And it's fun to sort of get to know and continue, you know, their stories because it does change. And I love what design can do because I mentioned earlier that my dad's a scientist, my brother's in medicine, and we have a lot of left brainers, but they're also right brain people, but they're led by science in their careers in our family. And I'm considered like the artist, you know, I went to school for architecture. I have a technical background, but I'm definitely, I definitely oscillate between right and left brain thoughts or, you know, paths.
Right.
And so, because you can make something, you may intend on making something attractive, but you have to know the mathematics of it and the technical aspects to it to be able to achieve it, also be able to take it further and then create something more unique because you're testing materials, you're testing limitations on getting product where it needs to be done, craftsmen, all of those kinds of things come into play. And so it's not just about having this idea of making something attractive. It's also how far can you take the resources that are readily available and create something together. And it's pretty exciting.